You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm. Gordon Brown, Kate Tracy and Andy Gibson, the team in the studio. We've got jumping from Lingfield and Fakenham, all-weather racing at Kempton in the afternoon and all-weather racing in the evening as well at Chelmsford City. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by none other than Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. And I'm delighted to be here. And interesting racing over the weekend. And no doubt a lot more next weekend.
Yes. Just looking ahead to next weekend, which we will do during the Monday jury, we have got some huge names in action this weekend. So that is something we'll get stuck into in just a moment or two, John. Really looking forward to the upcoming weekend. But the previous weekend wasn't too bad. And a lot of the questions in the Monday jury reflect on that. We have obviously had good racing over in Ireland. We had good racing at Cheltenham as well for the 2 days that it was on, thankfully. And first question is about the action over in Ireland. After Soldier's Morgiana win, what do you think will be the leading force, or who do you think will be the leading force in the two-mile hurdle division?
I find this almost an impossible question to answer, Mark. The trouble is that here we are in sort of mid-November, and we're basically asked to look ahead to what's taking place in March with the Champion Hurdle, etc. It's tricky because, A, many of the contenders have not yet been seen, and B, all kinds of things can happen between now and March. I thought the Morgiana Hurdle was quite good, but I'm not necessarily keen on the winner winning the Champion Hurdle or anything like that. And I note that Bouvaudaire is still the market leader for the Champion Hurdle. And, you know, if he does well between now and then, he could easily come back and win it again. I mean, he's not that old, and he just wasn't quite with it last season at a certain time. The other horse I like in the hurdles division is Pentland Hills, but there again, the future rather than the present is what's going to be the crucial point.
Yeah, I feel that Bouvaudaire never really, for whatever reason, gets the credit he deserves. He was bidding for a third Champion Hurdle, wasn't he, when he fell last season, came back out and won at Punchestown afterwards. For me, he's still top of the pecking order. Classical Dream is actually the new favourite, John. He's gone 4-1, clear favourite at the top of the market. Bouvaudaire second in at 5-1 with Soldier, 8-1 for Pentland Hills. Fusil Raffles is 12-1 and 20s or bigger for the remainder.
Yeah, I am a great believer in what you might call Cheltenham form, and Bouvaudaire has got that. And I'm pretty confident that he will be aimed at the Champion Hurdle again to make up for last year's disappointment. And at this moment, I would stick with Bouvaudaire. I do think Pentland Hills is an interesting horse, and I should be looking forward to him running again.
What heights can Forheen reach as a novice chaser this season? We just mentioned the two-mile hurdlers. He was, of course, a previous Champion Hurdle winner, wasn't he? But what can he do over the larger obstacles now? As he's 11, isn't he, I think?
Well, I think he'll win more. He jumped pretty well, and he showed that he'd still got the acceleration and gear to win in good style. And if he remains sound, and of course he hasn't got a particularly good record at remaining sound, if he does remain sound, he'll win more races over fences, no doubt about that. But if we're talking about sort of really championship class novice chases, he will be 12 in January.
Yeah.
And that is getting a bit long in the tooth. I mean, I'm a great supporter of Simply Ned, and he's 12. But I think Forheen will win novice chases. He win good prizes, but I don't at this moment think he's a contender for the big festivals in the spring.
There's the old phrase, isn't it? You can't teach an old dog new tricks, and it just feels a little bit like they're trying to teach an old horse new tricks sending him over fences this stage in his career?
Well, yeah, it's quite late, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, really whether the opposition was some, you know, out of the top draw at the weekend, but he certainly did more or less everything right. And hopefully he's going to win more prizes. It's great to see horses like this back in action and winning prizes, but to expect them to be at the top level at that age and, as you say, being taught to go chasing at a fairly elderly time is tricky, I think.
I think everybody was happy to see him get his head back in front of the weekend. Hopefully he will win a few more prizes this season. Which runner caught your eye in the Bet Victor Gold Cup with the rest of the season in mind?
Well, Sate House was the obvious candidate for this. He was travelling okay when he came down, and he's a horse of considerable ability. And if he puts in clear rounds in the future in good class races, he's going to win quite a lot of money. As far as the Bet Victor race was concerned, though, Mark, I was, you know, pretty disappointed. And that was really because of the ground. I thought one of the factors about Cheltenham, certainly on Sunday, and I think probably the day before, was that horse welfare, as you might say, was coming fairly high on the agenda. And jockeys seemed to be making, you know, a big effort not to go flat out to begin with. Now, that's all right, because the ground was, you know, pretty deep and testing. But with the fences missed out on the downhill run towards the second last, it was an immensely long run from the top of the hill to the second last. And the result was that races were turned into sprints. And I found that rather unsatisfactory. Happy Diva, delighted for her to win. She's very much a heavy ground horse, and perhaps one should have noted that with more care and looked at Happy Diva more closely. I was with Guitar Pete, for example, in the Bet Victor, and on previous running, where Happy Diva finished, Guitar Pete should have been front. But, of course, he didn't like the ground and he weakened in the closing sort of half mile or so and finished in mid-div. But well done to Happy Diva. And I do think that Slate House is, you know, a horse to follow. But I'm not that pleased with the race.
OK. Who impressed you most at Cheltenham this weekend, then? As a whole, what was the most impressive performance for you?
Defi du Sol in the slower on Sunday. I thought that was a very good run. It was a decent race, although, as I just mentioned, it did turn into something like a sprint from the top of the hill.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it was an exciting race. Dero Simply Ned ran tremendously well. If he hadn't made a sight mistake two out, he might have even been closer. And he could go on to win something in Ireland again over the Christmas period, no doubt about that, despite the fact he'd be 12. I felt that Defi du Sol was good and determined, and what impressed me about him was that he had taken a bit of time to come to his best last season, but here he was actually winning really quite a tricky old race, a classy race in good style.
Who do you like for Saturday's Betfair Chase at Haydock? At the moment, Bristol Demay is the favourite at 13-8. Lost in Translation 2-1. Altior 3-1. 9-2 Frodon. Bally Optic 12-1. 14's Elegant Escape and Black Corton 16's or bigger for the remainder. Is it as simple as Haydock testing conditions? Bristol Demay will love it.
Well, I can't win again, can he? He can. You're quite right, Mark. He is a horse who loves Haydock, and I mentioned about two or three minutes ago that I like Cheltenham runners. Cheltenham form is pretty good. Those who win there tend to win again, and Bristol Demay is a perfect example of loving Haydock, and he could easily do so, I suppose. Altior, I don't think, will run. I think he'll be at Ascot. And I hope Bristol Demay remains a 13-8 because I'm very much in the Lost in Translation camp. I think it'll need a very good horse to beat him. And Bristol Demay is getting a little bit old. How old is he? Not that long in the fang, I suppose. But He seems to have been about for already quite a long while.
He's only 8, surprisingly.
Yeah, well, there we are. You see, so he's in the prime of life, and I'm probably barking up the wrong tree with suggesting he's not going to win on Saturday. But I was tremendously impressed with Lost in Translation winning the Colin Parker Memorial Chase at Carlisle. He jumped absolutely splendidly, and perhaps equally impressive was the way that he quickened and lengthened up the hill at Carlisle in the closing stages. And remember, this is a horse who was running last year against animals like Defi de Searle. And he won the Dipper Chase, and he won that big Mild Maid Novices Chase at Aintree. I mean, he's a class horse. Mm. And I certainly won't look beyond Lost in Translation.
He's 2-1 second favourite at the moment. And I think this is a good benchmark for Lost in Translation, isn't it? Because his reappearance, he was very, very, very good visually, and he looks exciting for the season. If he can go and beat a horse like Bristol De Meyer, who we know is a Grade 1 performer in these conditions, then it rubber stamps him as a Grade 1 performer this season, doesn't it, I suppose?
Absolutely right, Mark. It does, and it will do if he does.
Yeah.
And I hope he will, because he impressed me immensely. And that Colin Parker Memorial Chase has produced some very good winners in the past, so I rather hope that Lost in Translation will continue that sequence.
That's the big race at Haydock on Saturday. We've also got a potentially huge race at Ascot as well. We're set for the hotly anticipated clash between Surname and Altior, which we were looking forward to last season. It never happened. It looks like it might happen this Saturday, John. Who would be your pick if they do meet?
Altior. I think Altior is, well, he obviously is a class horse, but he's a horse who he can come to hand, you know, pretty quickly. Surname actually ran, unless I'm much mistaken, in the Colin Parker Memorial Chase last season. And I think he started favourite. It was either the Colin Parker or the Graduation Chase at Carlisle. And he was sent up by Paul Nicholls, started favourite, and he didn't win. Finished third, if I recollect. Of course, he improved immensely.
But yeah, that's correct, yeah. Third in the Colin Parker behind Mr. Whittaker last season.
Yes, that's right. See, you know, I'm with Altior because I think he's a class horse, and I think he'd be ready. I'm sure Nicky Henderson will have him absolutely spot on for next Saturday.
What do you think of Altior this season, John? Are you one of those in the camp that he should go 3 miles and upwards, or would you rather stay at the shorter trips?
I think he ought to be tried over the longer trip, Mark, myself, if I owned him, because I got the impression that even in last season, he was having to work quite hard to win the major races over 2 miles, but in every case, he was doing his best work in the closing stages, and I'm sure he could benefit from a up-in trip.
Okay. That's the Monday Jury for another week then. Thank you very much for your answers there, John. Thanks to the Racing Post for those questions as well. Now let's get a couple of tips out for Tuesday as well. John's going to go for a quick fire double for us, the 3:10 at Fakenham and the 3:20 at Kempton. So we'll go through them in chronological order. 3:10 at Fakenham is a 2 mile handicap chase, John. We've got a field of 6 set to go to post for this one. And I suppose Master Vintage is going to be one that's going to attract a fair bit of support, considering he's coming here chasing the hat-trick.
Yes, he ought to win. He's trained by Richard Phillips, though, who is a trainer who is very capable but has not had a great deal of fortune or a great number of good horses in his time as a trainer. Fakenham also, of course, I never really care for what you might call odds on favourites, but yeah, Master Vintage has to have a big chance in this race. If he mention one or two others. Paddy's Poem is a horse trained by Nick Gifford. Now, if you talk about trainers who don't have winners very often, then you would have to include Nick Gifford in that list. However, Paddy's Poem, you know, is a winner at Huntingdon. Huntingdon seems to come into this race in huge quantities. Nearly every horse involved has either won at Huntingdon or been placed at Huntingdon. Pull Together hasn't, though. Shouldn't win this race, but he's trained by Stuart Edmonds, and you know, I have a great deal of confidence in Stuart Edmonds. He's a very decent trainer, and he gets results. So does Ollie Murphy. He's got Cesar de Gouet in this race. finished fifth of six last time out at Ludlow. Some people would say, how could you possibly mention that? But it was quite a decent little race compared to this. Could go well. And then we have Master Vintage. And I have to say, on form, Master Vintage has to be the choice. Ought to win. Absolutely skated up. Well, at Huntingdon last time out, I think winning by 13 lengths. Had also won a market race and before that in very good form. Got a good young jockey claiming £3 on. Master Vintage ought to win.
Master Vintage should be the one to beat then at Fakenham in the 3.10. And we move on to the 3.20 at Kempton next. Now, this is very competitive. This is the London Middle Distance Series final. It's a handicap, Class 2 handicap over a mile and three furlongs. At the time of recording this, the Pinto Kid is the 7-2 favourite. 5-1 for All Yours. Kitterbart is 13-2. 15-2 Good Tidings. It's 15-2 as well for Just the Man, 17-2 Emirates Knight, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. And an added bonus here with us at William Hill. If you're having an each way bet in this race, it's a fifth of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So an extra place on offer as well.
Yeah, this is a very competitive and excellent race, and it'll be well worth watching. I've narrowed it down to four horses, and perhaps the William Hill offer will improve the chances of getting a reward. There is one at the top I've always had a soft spot for. This is Firefighter. It's 28-1, I believe, in the betting at the moment. But Mark Johnston continues to run this splendidly consistent in the past animal. However, he hasn't done very much here. Adam Kirby in the saddle, though, it wouldn't be an enormous surprise if Firefighter was involved. Slightly less a long price, but still round about 20-1 is a horse I do fancy to run rather well. And this is Cosmopolitan, Alan King trains, and Tom Marcond is in the saddle. And it's just the kind of horse that Tom Marcond could get into the money. Hasn't done a great deal on the flat recently, but has been running in good class handicaps at Newbury and Haydock, and I think I'm right in saying was placed in a hurdle at Newbury last time. And Alan King's flat horses are going pretty well, so I do think Cosmopolitan has got a squeak in this contest. We then come to the two obvious form horses in the race. Kitterbart is one of them, and this horse won at Kempton last time out. Also finished third at Chelmsford before that. But at Chelmsford, he was quite well beaten by the favourite, the anti-post favourite for this race, the Pinto Kid. Mm-hmm. And that's James Fanshawe. And James Fanshawe's runner didn't get much of a run at Chelmsford, but still won and looks to be on a very decent mark. I think that on form, the race is between Kitterbart and the Pinto Kid, and I'm going to go for the Pinto Kid.
Yeah, the Pinto Kid, 7-2 favourites at the moment, and despite not getting the clearest of passages last time at Chelmsford City, still went on to win, as John mentioned, and therefore you could see no real obvious reason why Kitterbart should reverse that form. 13-2 for Kitterbart if you think that is the case. But the Pinto Kid, the pick for Lord Budden, that goes along with his selection, Master Vintage, in the 3.10 at Fakenham. Best of luck if you're following John in. Good luck to yourself, John. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much, Mark. I shall enjoy it, yes.
That's the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's Racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio. And they are live from 12:20 p.m. It's Gordon Brown, Kate Tracy and Andy Gibson in the studio. Lingfield, Fakenham and Kempton in the afternoon. Chelmsford City in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.